Welcome to Mind Styling, the podcast that explores how we can win at the game inside our heads and make a mark on this world in our own unique style, on our own terms.
We interview entrepreneurs and leaders who aren't afraid to push the boundaries and set their own definitions of success. We will share with you the tips and techniques they use to style their mind and give you the tools you need to start mind styling for yourself.
Hello, listeners. Becky here. Before this week's episode, Amy and I wanted to let you know about Innovate UK's Women in Innovation program, which empowers pioneering female entrepreneurs to develop innovations. It's delivered by KTN, and the program enables brilliant women to fully achieve their visions and change the world, whilst championing and celebrating gender diversity throughout UK innovation. The Women in Innovation campaign was launched the 1st of June 2016 to address the underrepresentation of women engaging with Innovate UK. They wanted to get more women with excellent ideas innovating in UK businesses and boost the economy. I'm pleased to say that I was one of those winners way back in 2016, and the opportunities and the peer group that I had through the program completely changed my trajectory. I spoke more about that on a previous podcast, so if you want to go know more, you can go back and listen. Since launching the Women in Innovation campaign, the number of women leading applications for grants to Innovate UK has increased by 70%. That's 70%. So that's just all about role modelling and promoting women. Amy and I are delighted to be featuring some of this year's winners on Mind Styling. Listen to their stories to be inspired and to learn from their journey. And if you think you could be a future Women in Innovation Award winner, head to the link in our bio to find out about this year's application process. Now, on with the interview. Hello, Mind Stylists. It's lovely to be with you today. I'm Dr. Becky Sage.
And I'm Amy Armstrong.
And we are so happy today to be joined by Dr. Chen Davies. She's the founder and CEO of Latchade. She holds a PhD in computer graphics and has over 15 years software R&D experience. She spent the past 10 years working in a world-class R&D team to create stunning visual effects for feature films, including the Oscar and BAFTA award-winning Gravity and Blade Runner 2049. Chen is a mum of two and had first-hand experience as a once struggling but later successful breastfeeding mum. Her experience motivated her to found Latchade to revolutionise the breastfeeding support using innovative technology. It's just been announced that she's a winner of the Innovate UK Women in Innovation Award, and the Latchade app, featuring 3D interactive breastfeeding animations, virtual breastfeeding support groups, an AI-powered 24/7 virtual supporter, and real-life experts, will be launched on the Apple App Store this spring. Wow, Chen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Amy, for inviting me to your brilliant show. I'm so looking forward to this.
Hey, so such a pleasure to have you here.
Yes. So let's jump straight in. Can you tell us a little bit more about Latchade and your entrepreneurial journey so far?
Sure. I want to start with this. I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. I had a dream career, as you mentioned. I was working in a world-class R&D team. I spent the past decade working on visual effects of blockbuster movies. I enjoy working on Marvel movies, Disney movies, and many different visual effects to entertain people. And that was a big part of my dream and ambition. And I was quite happy there. But in 2015, when I had my son, Oscar, I had some personal struggles with breastfeeding, and that changed my life forever. And that really made me realize breastfeeding is so challenging, and new moms really need a lot of support, and digital health technology and innovation are so needed in this area. That changed my life course. And in 2018, I set up Latchade. And my ambition is to use technology and innovation to revolutionize breastfeeding support. So women doesn't have to go through what I have gone through. So that's the whole purpose of setting up Large Shade. And I think 3 years on, we have got a core team of 6. We have got a subcontracting team of over 30 across 4 continents. And we just launched our beta in February. And we already got active users from 14 different countries across 6 continents. And there's so much more to do, but I'm so happy that this dream of supporting women is gradually becoming a reality.
It's absolutely amazing. Has the incredible experience you had with the visual effects, how's that translated into Large Shade? Because I didn't know, and I know you quite relatively well, Chen, I didn't know that those are what your BAFTAs were for. Have you brought that visual side of it and your real understanding of tech on that side into the Large Shade journey?
Okay, so that's a really good question. Thank you, Amy. I have always been a visual person. I think one picture is better than 1,000 words. And in terms of learning breastfeeding, I think it's really important to see someone doing it. This is, I think for me, it's a vicarious experience. This, you see your mother cook the rice and then you learn how to cook the rice. But personally for me, I struggled with breastfeeding because I didn't know how to breastfeed. I don't know how to position the baby properly on my breast before I had my baby. When I went to antenatal classes, we couldn't practice because we haven't got a baby yet. So our antenatal teachers show us how to use a doll to latch on a knitted boob. And that's obviously not so intuitive. So I kind of got the idea of how to hold the baby, and I know roughly how to put the baby on, but that is not enough. So when I had my baby, before I leave hospital, I already had damaged nipple, because when you put the baby on your breast incorrectly, baby's latching on your nipple, but not on your breast. And that could quite easily crack the nipple. And that will eventually develop into mastitis, thrush, and that will introduce tremendous pain and discomfort. And a lot of women give up breastfeeding because of this. So going back to why I think CGI could be useful for breastfeeding support, eventually when I learned how to position the baby properly on my breast, and after 3 mastitis, and after even postnatal depression caused by all these struggles, I realized that why can't I develop something to teach women visually how breastfeeding is done, how a deep latch looks like, how the baby can be positioned properly on the breast so that the baby has a really big mouthful of breast tissue and women can reduce their discomfort and pain as much as possible. We can definitely do that through visual effects. We can do that through CGI. And if women can learn this before they have the baby, their life could be changed forever. And the baby can really have that bad start of life, enjoying the breast milk and all the goodness of it. So that's the start of my kind of journey, really.
It's really clear listening to you right now, all of the passion that you've got, and that whole process of having that personal problem, but also being able to overlap that with your skills and your experience, and then seeing that that's something that many people all around the world need as well. So in hindsight, it seems like a very obvious thing that this could be a success. But thinking back to those days when you were like, okay, well, there's some ideas here, and should I do this? Should I not do this? I've had this amazing career. I love the job I have been in. Where was the tipping point for you to say, right, I'm going for this. I'm going to jump 2 feet in.
That's a really good question. I'm trying to think, where is that tipping point? Actually, I think I never have that kind of that moment of time. I thought, okay, I'm going to drop everything and just work on Large Shade. Because I'm a mom, I have 2 children, and I have to pay the bills. I didn't have the gut to give up my day job. So I held on to my day job until actually December 2020, which is 3-4 months ago. So what I did previously was I set up Latchly during my maternity leave of my daughter, when I had my daughter. So that made life not so hard because my job at that time was just set up Latchly and look after my new baby. And since then, for a couple of years, I've been holding on to my day job and running Latchly at the same time. So what I did was I spent a lot of time during my commute to London from Gloucestershire working on the app. And because I'm a computer scientist, so at the beginning when I was bootstrapping, I just developed the prototype myself. That saved a lot of money and that gave me excitement because I can program something and it just worked. And I at that time, I felt at the beginning, building that prototype is a technology kind of achievement for me. I feel very happy because I have done something as a little project. But later on, it grew to me that this project can become something that can benefit millions of women out there. And I decided that I need to join an incubator program to teach me how to be a businesswoman because I'm a technologist. I have so much to learn. So really in 2018, during my maternity leave, I joined Cambridge Judge Business School. And they have an incubator program called Cambridge Social Ventures. I took my 9 weeks old baby there and joined the boot camp, joined all the workshops, breastfed my baby through the discussions, through the pitching, and basically have to be very brave and very resilient during that whole year. And really, gradually, I become more and more entrepreneurial. And eventually, I took the risk last December because I have been working many, many hours each week, trying to do my day job, trying to be a mom, trying to do Latchly. And eventually it's all becoming too much. But around similar time, I won Women Innovation Award. And that's incredible for me to finally allow me to give up my day job and focusing on Latchly itself. So that's probably my tipping point.
This right now is your, you know, is your tipping point. It's yeah, but it sounds like you've up till it. I guess the point being, it's not a single tipping point, really. It's a series of steps that you've taken gradually that have then led you to this place.
Yeah,
your resilience. Oh my goodness. I mean, so it was quite easy having a newborn and starting up Latchly. That was the easy time. That's not an easy time. And then you qualified it and said, so I took my daughter to the boot camp and, oh, wow. I mean, trying to navigate mother, being a mum and being an entrepreneur right on the edge of your comfort zone.
And yeah.
Probably without much sleep. I don't know. Was your daughter a very good sleeper? Or
okay. I have a couple of really good memories about this. The first memory was the first boot camp session I have to join at Cambridge Judge Business School. I pushed my 9 weeks old baby in a pram into the lecture room. As soon as I walked in, she started crying and she screamed so loud. But that's the moment I want to hide myself because I feel so out of my comfort zone walking into a business school. So I sat there, felt I want to cry at the same time. And at that time, I honestly felt I'm in the wrong place. But what made me feel comfortable was the director of Cambridge Social Ventures. She came to me and she basically took the baby from me and she said, okay, I will just give her a little cuddle. And then you focus on what you need to listen to and don't worry about it. And then I looked around the entrepreneurs next to me, and many of them are moms and dads. You know, they have babies, they know what it's like, and they were really, really understanding. And that really helped me. Another thing I remembered was when my baby was very little and when I tried to do some work, I put her on the bouncer chair. So, and that bouncer chair is basically, I try to use my feet to vibrate that bouncer chair. So somehow she can see me doing something with her and she's smiling to me and smiling to her, but I kind of trying to do work at the same time. So until now, when I do work, I'm still kind of trying to somehow tap my feet to almost like my daughter is still next to me on the bouncer chair. I also remember I live in Gloucestershire and I was traveling to Cambridge every month for the training. So this is a big project for me because I need to change the train so many times and subway and bus with a pram, with all the bags. And every time it was hard. And I remembered my mom lived in Cambridge and she always picked me up and then she goes with me for training and she was there for me to look after the baby. And I always remembered how much my family has supported me. So yes, it's hard to start up a business in maternity leave, let alone I put my baby in my sling when I went for my first pitch to a panel experts as well. And she started crying in the middle of my presentation, as expected.
A live demo of Latchade.
Yeah, exactly. But that was just such fond memories, and it made me appreciate all those memories. You know, when I set up the business, it is hard, but it's not impossible.
What I really like about what you've just described is this idea that just because something is hard doesn't mean that we can't kind of enjoy it and take good memories out of it. Is that something that you are able to carry through many aspects of your life? Is that something that you've kind of always had?
Yeah, I honestly remember when I came to this country 18 years ago. I don't speak much English. I was scared. I landed at Edinburgh Airport with two suitcases. And that was a hard time. I honestly was worried about if I can understand anything in my master's classes, if I can settle in and things like that. But I always find when negative things happen, there's always some positive thing happen and that will carry you through. And I always found that if you are authentic and genuine, people will want to help you. And eventually all these people will go with you during your journey and things will get easier and things will get better. So when things get hard, I always try to think about positives. I look back and think about all the challenges I have overcame. I think I can do it again because I did it before.
It's a really powerful image, you standing on the tarmac with two suitcases. What brought you to England, or was it Edinburgh, you said? What brought you to the United Kingdom?
So I came to this country for my master's degree. So I did my master's degree at Dundee University. And before that, I was studying mechanical engineering in China. And I never thought I would become a mechanical engineer. Actually, this is great because I came to a different country and I can learn something I'm really passionate about. I love computer science. So that was great. And after that, I didn't want to go back to China because I felt I can learn more in this country. So I went through a very competitive process and applied many, many different PhD studentships. Probably after 100 applications, my 100th application was successful and I got full studentship at Brunel University. And that enabled me to work on my research project, and that's about computer graphics and animation. And that is always my dream, to work on movies, to work in visual effects. Since I was little, since I watched Lion King, since I watched Toy Stories. So it's really, for me, a dream come true.
You talked there about 100 applications and it was the 100th one that was successful. And I think we know each other already outside of this. And I think something that is certainly that I've found when in engaging with you is just this amazing ability to kind of be very humble about where you are right now and to just keep going and keep stepping forward and asking people for help if needs be, or, you know, putting another application in, putting those 100 applications in and really working to get to the point where you can reach those goals. What do you think it is behind that resilience that you've got?
I think I learned from my mom. My mom is always my inspiration, and she had a brilliant career in China. She was a medical doctor, but after she turned 40, she decided to change her life completely. And then she gave up her day job and she moved to Hungary to be a businesswoman because she wanted to explore the world. So basically she left with two suitcases and and she took this train. It's a long journey, probably 8 days and eight nights from China to Hungary. And then she arrived in Hungary with no language, with no personal network. She doesn't know anyone. But since then, she set up her own business and her own business grow. And she employed over 30 people. And then my family moved over there. And I learned so much from her about entrepreneurship. It's not about having a business degree. It's great if you have one, but it's about your self-belief, it's about your resilience, and it's really about how resourceful you are. When life is throwing you challenges, you'll find a way to deal with it. I can really see how my mom is doing this, and this taught me from a very young age that you could arrive somewhere with nothing, and you can create something from nothing. And if you keep trying, good things will happen.
Your ability to reframe and take lessons from life is just phenomenal. And it strikes me, all of this, these life lessons, this self-belief, this ability to take strength from difficulty. Postnatal depression can knock someone completely sideways. Yeah. And yet somehow you've managed, you've transformed your life and made it a key point of pivot in your life to realize a new set of dreams. How did you handle and navigate that really tricky time in your life?
Okay, so I remembered in 2015 when I couldn't feed my baby. It's hard to maybe imagine for people who haven't got similar experience, but when people had this experience, you will understand, maybe relate to me. So since I had this damaged nipple, breastfeeding has become very painful. But when you have a crying baby who needs to be fed eight times or even more each day, every feeding session is a very devastating process for me. I want to feed my baby, but I dread the next feed. I was scared about my baby wake up because I know he will be hungry and I have to feed him again. And that feeling of failure, I feel I'm a mother, I have a crying baby, I couldn't even feed him because I was trying to put my baby on my breast 10, 15, 20 times. Every time before I put the baby on, I hesitate. Because I felt, oh no, I'm not doing this right. Maybe I should try something else. Maybe I should swaddle my baby so his arm is not in the way so I can put him on easier. And after so many takes, my baby is desperate and mad for milk because he can smell it. But I was desperate and mad of my failure because my milk is there, but I just couldn't put my baby on. I remember I was screaming, I was crying, I was in such a desperate state for days. And I also remember when I went to see my GP and he was trying to analyze how bad my nipple was damaged. And he used the torch to basically project on it to look at it. And he said, this is impossible to feed the baby on. I should stop. I should just give the baby a bottle. And I remember I cried all the way from the clinic back home. And I told myself, I will try anything to not stop feeding my baby. And I think what was the turning point was a very, very comforting house visitor. She came to me. She's not a breastfeeding police. She's not trying to tell me what to do or what not to do. She mentioned to me to do things that I feel comfortable about. She tried to reassure me that I was doing great. And she was telling me, whatever I was experiencing is not uncommon, it's common. Mm-hmm. And I realized from some online reading that I realized other women are going through the same thing. And every time I read about certain things, I realized I'm just going to take one feed each time. I'm going to take one day each time. I'm just going to keep going. And one day I'll turn that corner. And that corner was when the baby was 8 weeks old. And suddenly I can just understand how to put the baby on. And since then, life gradually improved. My wound has healed. mentally, I was still struggling. I was going back to see my GP every week because she needed to check on me and my mental health. And I got nurse coming to visit me as well. But gradually, I think that oxytocin, when you are feeding the baby, really help you to be positive. And I can feel the bond. I can really feel the convenience of breastfeeding more and more because I go out. I don't need to carry anything. I just take my baby out. I feed him. And I realized that this is the best decision I ever made to persevere. And then this all going back to Lachit again. I felt if women at my time back then can have the support to tell them they are not alone, this is hard, but they can do it, and give them that 24/7 support and expertise, answer their questions, solve their problems, so they don't have to wait for the next midwife visit 3 days later, this will change many women's breastfeeding journey. So this made me feel like I have a mission to change this because I have a technology background. I have this personal experience. I can really feel the pain of other women, and I want to do something about it.
Thank you for sharing all of that. I know that other people will be listening, and like you said, finding solidarity is such an important part of a lot of these stories. So something that I'm interested in, so you kind of went through that process, and as Amy said, you're just amazing at using the adversity to then create and move forward and reframing the way things are in order to give you opportunity. And so then you ended up in this space and you're like, oh, I guess I'm a business person now. I need to become entrepreneurial. I need to become business. And what are the things that as you've stepped into this role as a CEO, as a founder, that have become the kind of next set of challenges that you're facing? So in the business world, have you got particular things that you're like, this is really challenging?
Really good question. So one thing I always feel is I feel like I don't know anything, but I have to make it up. I have to learn very quickly. I have to make decisions, and my decisions could change so much for my business. So I feel that weight on my shoulder, and that kind of responsibility I have never had before. When I was working in a corporate, when I was working in a big visual effects team, I feel I only need to do what I need to do really well. But being a businesswoman means you need to be an all-rounder, and it means you need to learn things you don't know very quickly. You need to solve problems very quickly. You need to be sometimes very, very tough, and sometimes very, very true to yourself. I find it quite hard because I was a computer scientist. I was focusing on technology, and I'm lack of many skills. And I think the second thing I was going to say is I have to overcome my kind of lack of confidence. I always feel someone better than me can run this business better. And I feel I'm not doing my best. I feel I could have developed some skills before I set up Lachit. And my third challenge I got was time. I'm so short of time, and I so need someone to help me to do things. But when you have no funding at the beginning, it's very hard. You bootstrap to a certain extent that you need to hire someone to do stuff, but you need to spend time to find money so that you can hire that person. So all these three things are challenging for me, and they were still challenges for me now.
Can we go back to that first one? You talked about responsibility and having to make decisions, and maybe, you know, without having all the answers. And of course, this is entrepreneurship, isn't it? It's such a characteristic of the entrepreneurial life. Have you found certain things that have helped you with that, and perhaps helped you with the other two as well, but, you know, particularly with confidence as well? But are there certain things that have helped you be more comfortable with making the decisions you need to make and take responsibility when you maybe don't feel like you do have all the information that you need?
Okay, so I think two things really helped me. one thing is you need to build a team around you, a support network. So they don't have to be your employees, or you don't necessarily have to find a co-founder first, but you need that support network made up by people who know you, who has different skill sets, and who can see things differently. And you always need some people you can go to when you are going through challenges. You need to have someone to talk to. You need to have someone to cry to. And I honestly couldn't carry on for this long without all these people behind me, supporting me, encourage me, and really help me to carry on, because I don't want to let them down, and I felt they believe in me, so I should as well. The second thing I found was to really put yourself in an entrepreneurial environment, join the incubator programs, join training programs, try to network as much as possible. It helps you to meet people, and some new contacts might lead you to a new opportunity. And sharing your experience with fellow entrepreneurs could be such a great experience, because whatever you have gone through is not new. Everyone has gone through the same thing before. And it makes you realize that, yes, it is hard, but you can do it. You look at the people at later stage of their startup journey, they had same experience, but they have done it. And I can do the same. And later on, if I could, I can encourage other people too.
And what's been the most helpful piece of advice that you've received on the journey? There's plenty that probably needs to be ignored. But what's really resonated with you? And for everyone, it's different. But for you, Chen?
For me, if I can pick one thing, I think the very important thing is to pace yourself. Because I always remember my business advisor at Cambridge Social Ventures told me, entrepreneurship or startup is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And if we don't pace ourselves, we would have burned out already before something happens. And this link to a second thing I always share with other people. This is like a Chinese bamboo. It takes 7 years underground to gain that energy. And then the last year, it will shoot up to the sky. For a startup entrepreneur, you might not see anything happen for a very long time. But all those things you have been doing, and all those people you met, and all the challenges you have overcome, they build up that energy for you to eventually shoot up to the sky the seventh year. But if you burn yourself out before anything happens, nothing will happen. So, Amy, I know you have been coaching me about trying to have self-care and things. I really echo that. I think for entrepreneurs, the most important thing is to look after yourself, because you are the most valuable asset of your business. And you are the most important person to look after. Doesn't matter how busy it is, you need to find time for yourself.
And what do you do to find time for yourself? And what are your favorite self-care practices?
For me, I usually enjoy the time with my children in the woods, trying to do something outside, running around with them. And the second thing I really enjoyed is just going out running, because that will really clear my mind. Because I was trying so hard running and enjoying my surroundings, I don't think too much about issues. And I always found, actually, when I was happy about myself, I was actually positive and I was productive. And actually, I can achieve more things. So that time spending on exercising, spending time with your family is critical for self-care.
I just want to go back to what you were talking about as well, in terms of it being a marathon, and it's kind of take realizing and having that perspective that there's a kind of long-term view on the on building a business and having whatever your version of success is in business. Can you think back to any times where at the time you were kind of really stressed out or really, you know, or you know, something felt really big, but actually you look back now and you're like, why was I worrying about that? You know, it was fine. Everything was okay. Have you got any anecdotes around anything like that?
Okay. I always remember last September, I was applying for a bunch of grants. And one of them, I felt really kind of close to my heart, is one of the Innovate UK's grants. I tried my best. I spent hours and hours trying to craft that application, and eventually it was not successful. And some comments from assessors, basically, I don't fully agree on, but I just felt rubbish. I felt I tried my best. We haven't got this funding, but I need this money because I need to pay people. I need to advance R&D. What can I do? I felt that was my lowest point. And I, to be honest, now I look back since September, I have won 3 or 4 grants since then. And that's probably from September until January is the period of time I won the most grants in my life. But what picked me up was I have this amazing mentor. She sent me a little hand-sketched picture of basically a big pink heart, and she wrote something underneath, roughly like, don't be afraid to try your best, but still fail, because trying your best is already a great success. And that really made me apply for Women Innovation Award, because that was my most rubbish time. I felt like failure. I felt I'm not good for anything. And applying for Women Innovation Award is such a long shot, and I don't think I even got a chance. But that little sketch made me feel like I'm just going to give it my best shot, and it's already a success. If it's not successful, at least it's a self-discovery process for me. I wrote about my passion. I talked to different people to let them talk to me about how they feel about me. So I somehow could find more self-confidence, so why not? So, yeah, so that's, I don't know if that answers your question, Becky. Yeah.
I love the fact that in typical Chen brave style, you went out and asked other people about what they thought was good about you.
This is from Becky, I have to say. So before I applied, I know Becky's an amazing winner in 2016, and I really want to learn from Becky, and Becky really was helpful trying to explain to me. So this can I just explain to you? I am always quite, how can I say? I think growing up in China kind of shaped my personality. We are told to be modest and, you know, very humble and don't speak up too much. So I find it very hard to write an application about myself, because when you write application about your company or your project, it's easier to hide behind it and write things quite differently. But Women Innovation Award need me to write about myself, my achievement, my journey, and why I'm a great leader, why I'm a great entrepreneur. And I find it very difficult. And I asked Becky what to do. And Becky said, just go and ask other people, ask them to write about you. And then just put it together. And that's application question done. And that's what I did. I talked to every single one of my support network and asked them to write something about me. And that was honestly the best thing happened in my life. I realized how amazing I am in other people's eyes. That really boosted my confidence. And I realized one thing I never knew about myself. One strength many people echoed was my ability to my passion to influence other people, and it's infectious. Somehow people feel like they have to join my army. They have to basically support me. So I got bigger and bigger army behind me wherever I go. I literally like that. And I find that such an empowering thing. So, yeah.
It's such a wonderful skill to light people up and inspire them to follow you. I think that's incredible. How does it help you with your management of, did you say 30 subcontractors across the world?
Yes. So I was having a day job as well. So it was challenging because it's 30 people, but it's actually six subcontracting teams. So I got three software teams, I got one 3D crew, and I got lactation consultancy team, and I got another team that is doing commercial stuff. And this is over and beyond my core team of girls who work really closely with me. So it's very difficult because you are juggling every day. So I was juggling my motherhood. I was juggling my part-time day job. I was juggling managing six plus one team and plus still trying to drive the business forward. And that was a very challenging time.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about what comes next. Where is your kind of aspiration at the moment? You know, like you said, you've come from, I guess it was 6 months ago when we're talking right now, that you were in this place where you're like, that was really hard. I was getting this feedback. I didn't agree with it, but it was tough and I didn't know what was going to happen. And then you've had more grants come in. You've chosen to step away from the day job and really jump in with LatchAid. You've won the Women in Innovation Award. That's happening now. That's all just been announced this week. What comes next for you?
Lots and lots of work.
It all starts here.
I think before I give up my day job, I always dreamed I will have so much spare time. You know, I don't even know what to do with it. Now I find I actually find things to fill my actual time quite easily. So what to do next? We have already launched our beta last month, and this will go on until April. So anyone who wants to, anyone who is struggling with breastfeeding, anyone who knows a breastfeeding mother, and anyone at all wants to try out the free app, please just go to our website, www.latchaid.com, to sign up and to try our app. So the next step from that is to launch our app at the Apple App Store in the beginning of May. And we are already planning the app pilots with three different trusts, NHS trusts across the UK. So we really try to, alongside the B2C model, we want to build this B2B partnership with the NHS and with corporates and with insurers. We want to make this app available to moms everywhere. So women who go to maternity units, to women going to antenatal classes, they will know about LatchAid. They can benefit from LatchAid to learn breastfeeding skills, to connect to other women, to connect to experts, to use our AI for 24/7 support. I'm really excited in this new R&D project supported by Women Innovation Award, because this one is very close to my heart. It is to provide emotional support to women. This is called Sentiment AI. So what we're going to do is we're going to develop this personalized virtual companion. So the AI can analyze women's conversation and sentences she speak to understand her emotional state. So if a mother say, "I feel like I'm a real failure. I'm a really bad mom," AI could analyze how desperate she is, how tired she is, and other primitive emotional elements. And then we can then give her that tailored emotional support to encourage her, to tell her, "You are not alone, you're doing a great job, and we see you," to show that empathy. And that's one of the most important things we think for a new mom to get through those hard days. And we're also trying to develop the AI features to identify crisis signals, because actually what kills most new moms in the first year is suicide, and mental health issue is a big issue. So we try to use AI to identify crisis signals through women's conversation, so that we can escalate this to the people who can bring help to these women who are struggling. And all of this need to be funded by more cash, really. So this year I will focus on raising seed investment. So we're really trying to raise over £500,000 for product, team, and commercial development. So I look forward to talk to angel investors and to explain to them our passion and our vision for LaTrade, because we really want to become the global market leader and go to breastfeeding support app for women everywhere. And we really want to be part of their new motherhood journey.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And talk about taking AI into such a critical space as well. And that wonderful blending of AI, so it's there in the home with the experts out there, those really important support groups. And it just, it strikes me because, of course, with COVID, all of that personal support, those healthcare visits, they just haven't been happening. There's been some terrible stories, and it's fantastic that you're bringing something to market like this. And I can see the passion in your eyes. What is it that you're most looking forward to in the next year? Is it, yeah, out of that massive vision and project?
Firstly, I mean, I think I want to share some statistics with you about COVID and how COVID is affecting women's breastfeeding journey. Because last year we did this user survey, and we actually we got the questionnaire results from over 706 women across the UK, and 80% of them had lockdown babies. And we got some really, okay, I'm just trying to get the statistics read to you. So we asked 706 UK moms how COVID-19 has impacted on their breastfeeding experience, and found that 75% mothers felt isolated, 81% felt they were not getting sufficient breastfeeding support due to social distancing measures. Mm. And the problem is the breastfeeding support sector is very predominantly rely on face-to-face delivery, and it is gold standard at any time. But during COVID time, it's hard. Women leave hospital, they arrived home and they had nothing. In the past, you can go to a breastfeeding cafe, you can go to breastfeeding peer support groups, you can meet other moms, your midwife and house visitor will come to visit you, but they suddenly have lost all of those things, and they have been suffering in silence. They are even more isolated than ever. So really, what makes me feel really excited about is I really can see LaTrade is benefiting people's lives already, and I'm going to perhaps share some other statistics with you. So since we have launched our public beta in February, which is less than 4 weeks ago, we had 800 people register to use the app within 48 hours of launching to the public. And after only several weeks of usage, 72% moms agreed that they could access information whenever they needed. 68% agreed the app increased their confidence and skills in breastfeeding. And for the professionals, breastfeeding professionals, house visitors and midwives, 88% of them said the information provided by LaTrade app was reliable and accurate. So this is massive. This means so much for us, because our purpose of existence is to increase women's confidence, is to teach them skills, is to help them reach their breastfeeding goals. That's why we develop virtual support groups, so they can digitally meet other mothers. They can talk to other mothers at 2 a.m. when they are doing their night feed, and they can find themselves in a big support network. And I think we achieve that even when we are still at a very early stage of this app. And one thing we really, I hope I had in the past, was this 24/7 expertise. And we built this neural network. We trained this neural network through top lactation consultants, top AI experts. We encapsulated the key knowledge of infant feeding into this neural network, and we trained this virtual supporter to answer most of the questions new moms might ask around the clock. And that could change so many people's lives. And over and above this, we realized some moms still need that one-to-one support. So we're building this feature so that the mother can connect to a real expert as well anytime she wants. And she can have this one-to-one support if she really has a tricky case. which they need reassurance. I really feel like this wraparound support is showing its impact, and our beta users are really communicating with each other on the platform. They're sharing the baby pictures. They are supporting and encouraging each other. We're already cultivating this community and we are growing it. And this almost make me feel like this is my third baby. She's growing, she's having her first tooth, and I can see so much potential, and I couldn't even tell you how proud I feel for the team, my team, for myself and our mission.
I love listening to you talk about that. I mean, I'm not surprised that you bring people along with you. I know you've brought me along with you on your journey, and because your passion does come through so much. Something that you appear, you know, to be very good at doing is translating those statistics into very personal stories. And, you know, so straight away, when I was listening I think I've talked quite a lot with a number of entrepreneurs about this recently, is this idea of think of every one of those statistics as an individual human being that you're helping. And I think that can be such a useful thing for entrepreneurs, especially those who are, you know, serving through their entrepreneurship, who are trying to really have this kind of impact. And you painted a picture of it there, which was just so beautiful, that you were saying, you know, you started with the statistics, but very quickly, each one of those people, that's 68% whose, you know, lives have been improved through using this app, of, you know, so it's hundreds and hundreds of people. And then you can think about them as each individual that you've, you know, they were you when you were back struggling. You're now impacting that on that scale. And that's just the beginning. You're only just starting. Have you always had that as a skill, to be able to kind of take the data and turn it into a personal story?
I don't know if this is my skill, but I generally, I'm a very personable person. So I find wherever I go to, talking to moms at playgrounds, at school gates, on the bus, on the train, we can find common things. And I honestly felt talking to people about their breastfeeding experience bound us together so easily. And I think so many women have gone through the same thing or similar things as me, and we can pretty much build that sisterhood so easily, because as soon as we started talking about the challenges, we all know it, we all hear each other, and that suddenly just made us friends and suddenly made us supporting each other. So, and all these statistics, you know, all the 72% women who feel like they have increased their confidence and skills, I see them as every single sisters who are there and who were struggling, but who were not giving up feeding their baby, who were not giving up doing the best for their children. And we are helping them we are supporting them to achieve what they want to achieve. And that's the most important thing for me.
That's wonderful. I think we could talk about this all day, and you've taken me right back to my first little bundle of gorgeousness, who latched on for 8 hours all the way through. That there was no milk coming out. She just shredded my nipples. and I've now got I've got a book. I found it the other day. I was clearly doing something wrong, because my sister has had her youngest in September, so definitely a lockdown baby. And we were reflecting on it, because she's had some wonderful support. I obviously didn't, because my daughter was going from one breast to the next, you know, about 1 minute, 23 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 seconds. I mean, I literally had the timer there. You could tell I was a bit of an A-type executive at that moment in time.
Of all that precise minutes as well. And I know in 3 minutes, my baby needs the next piece. It's better if they are fed responsibly.
Well, I mean, the whole thing, and then you start to talk about the community and the sharing of the pictures, and yes, your sisterhood. So congratulations on everything you've done, Chen. You know, Becky and I are here supporting you every step of the way.
Thank you so much. I so enjoyed talking to two of you, because I learned so much from you, and I will use what I learned to encourage and support other people as well.
Well, with that in mind, if you've got any top tips for our listeners, could you share a top tip with them now?
Well, I have a few things. Maybe I'll just say it very quickly. So firstly, I think no one was born to be an entrepreneur, a risk taker, or to be brave. I was really quiet when I grew up, but entrepreneurship forced me out of my shell. And I honestly think anyone can be an entrepreneur. So don't be shy. Don't worry too much. Just put yourself out there. Just learn when you are doing it. And make sure you build that support network because you will need it. The second thing is linked to what I said before. Entrepreneurship needs so much resilience. And it is a marathon. You have to pace yourself. You need to look after yourself. You need to be able to get the support. You need that support from your family and friends. So prioritize what's the most important for you. Your family, your children, your friends, people who are important in your life are the most important. Doesn't matter how busy your startup is, try to prioritize them first. It's easy to say than done. I'm still not prioritizing very well sometimes, but remember, because you need their support at very, very hard times. And the last thing I was going to say is really, again, this Chinese bamboo story and the story about don't be afraid of trying your best. Because if you don't try, you don't know what's going to happen. Your life journey could change completely if you just make that little baby step the first time and follow with another step and just be patient. Things will happen when you try your best. And that's really my advice to people. I hope that's helpful.
So helpful, so helpful. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being vulnerable and for just bringing the amazing positive energy that you always bring into every situation. And yeah, we've really enjoyed talking to you. So thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Jen. Absolute inspiration.
Thank you so much.
So we can't always control the situations that are going on outside of us, but we can be in control of how we react to those situations.
And that is what mind styling is all about.